Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is everything you never knew you wanted to know about time capsules.
Oh, time capsules. Okay, I have to tell you right now that I have a cat outside the door who is dying of hunger because we're recording and it's past his dinner time. So you may hear him in the background pounding on the door, scratching at it desperately.
Poor kitty baby.
Poor little leapy boy. He would not have survived flying in the dirigible, that's for sure. Okay, so time capsules.
I'm completely enchanted with any sort of mysterious treasure situation or, for instance, here in Spokane, we have the Campbell House, which is in the silver mine era of Spokane. It's a big house and it has been gifted to the city. And in its basement in Mesa Campbell's poker room was a closet that had a safe in it. And it was locked for the longest time through my childhood. And so it was always that mystery of what's in there. Nothing was in there, but that's okay.
Oh my gosh.
You'd think somebody who built up a town significantly would not leave a full safe. Anyway, though, I love that. And like the Goonies and all sorts of treasury things. I will watch National Treasure anytime you ask me. So all of those treasury wonderful things, time capsules fit into that part of my brain as I was reading through, like, what do people put in these?
Oh, yeah.
And this was going to be a treat for later in the episode, but this is a good moment. It was, I believe, in Norway. They had this time capsule and there was a big buildup and it was going to be awesome. And it was 100 years and they opened it and it was documentation and not very interesting documentation. And they're like, well, there you go, everybody. All right.
Here are the plans, the architectural plans for the building. Wow. Yeah. Thanks.
And this is the city council meeting notes from September 4th.
Who thought that was a good idea to put in the tube and save? You know, like, let's put this in a box. Was it intended to be a time capsule? You know, sometimes I wonder. Oh, it was.
It was totally this big built up. This is the time capsule. And so I find that delightful. But time capsules. The term time capsule was not used until 1939, which really surprised me. It's less than a century old, that term. And but we see examples of that kind of thing throughout history. You know, you're always finding like Latin, Bob was here, in somebody's wall that they found that, hundreds of years later. So this practice is a very human impulse. We want to be remembered and chronicle ourselves for later dates. And so that's what they did at the New York World's Fair in 1939. The Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company buried a cylinder inside a well on the fairgrounds of the World's Fair. And it was to be opened. It's still there, apparently. It is to be opened in the year 6939.
What? To be opened in 5,000 years? Who are you kidding? What's in it?
Seeds, which I think that's actually kind of astute. That's an interesting thought that they had there, because even now we're very into heritage vegetables and fruits. Seeds, microfilm, newsreels, everyday items, just cultural things. A letter from Albert Einstein. I'm curious what he had to say to them. Don't know if it's still preserved or how it's doing, but this is a definitely, we like to preserve things and send them on. And the Victorians loved it. They love that. The Victorians were super into lots of stuff. I feel like we say that a lot. It's either the 1904 World's Fair or in the Victorian era, it became popular to set a box of mementos in the cornerstone of new buildings. So you see a lot of that actually too in the capstone when they're destroying a historic building or repairing it. It's not uncommon for that capstone to contain important things from the period that they thought would be interesting later on. Some of the earliest examples of American time capsules were the 1876 Century Safe and the Massachusetts State House time capsule. Ooh. So let's go to Massachusetts first. That one was opened in 2015. That one is like a woo! That one, we're excited about that one. And truly, it is of note because it was assembled by Samuel Adams and Paul Revere in 1795. So that's a big deal one. And and it's a cornerstone one that was in the Massachusetts State House building. And Revere and Adams Foundation deposit box was rediscovered twice in that long time, which that's not really surprising. That's a long time for one building. In 1855, the workers were adding on to the State House and they found it. And they added a few new things before resealing. It was a brass box in plaster.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they found it again. So there wasn't a sign like, hey, check here. Because that's the thing I wonder about. How many time capsules are just nobody knows where they are?
Yeah. And probably they had this ceremony where they're like, and we're placing the capstone. This will be historic and everyone will remember. It's a big deal. It's Paul Revere over here. And then we don't. So it was discovered again in 2014 by repairmen fixing a water leak. And so they must have put it back. I don't know why. Maybe it was because they're like, well, we need to plan for this. It can't just be Bob found this. Do you want to look? So 2015, they opened it and they found newspapers. And this is very well publicized. You can read lots of articles and see great pictures. Newspapers and coins, which is terrific. A medal with Washington's image on it. A silver plaque reading, "This cornerstone of a building intended for the use of the legislative and executive branches of the government of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts was laid by His Excellency Samuel Adams, Esquire, Governor of this said Commonwealth."
Wow.
Yeah. So that's that one. That is quite historic and excellent to be holding something, a paper good that would have been touched by Paul and Sam.
That I don't know if we're really on that level. Can we be
I
that familiar?
So. Probably not. No. The 1876 Century Safe is another good one. It was planned time capsule. It wasn't called that, but it was planned. It was assembled by New York Magazine publisher Anna Dime. And it was for the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia. And it had a book on temperance, a collection of signatures. So that was opened up in 1976 during the bicentennial celebration. So those are the two like American ones, but there are lots more. Here's though, as I'm reading these, there were many that are like, and after 25 years, we opened the time capsule. Kind of not dazzled by 25 years. Are you? Would you be excited?
No, probably not.
My mom had a blender for 45 of the 50 years of her marriage that she used regularly. So I'm like, I don't know, 25 years. I'm not wowed by that. I want to see my mom's blender that had one broken tooth on it that she still used. So I qualify the next handful with maybe I would have been excited. I actually, the scouts gathered for their 100th anniversary of scouting in Brea, California. This is Girl Scout Troop 272 in 1987. And they decided to fill their time capsule with treasures from the 80s, which I don't know if they viewed them as treasures then, but they kind of are now. They have a happy 100th birthday balloon in there. Teen fan magazines, that I would want to look at. That would be
fun. Yes.
Campfire ashes, which is a very scouty thing. Hair scrunchies. a scrapbook about current events at the time. And a green Thin Mint box, because they are practical. They did not leave cookies in it.
Oh, that's good.
So now that I said I'm kind of not wow for that, that would have been sort of fun to see.
That's true. You know, what's interesting is the person who is making this time capsule thinks is important.
Yes.
And then the people opening it are different people at a different time. And will those things, like those, all those weird documents that were in that one, you know, like will that, the people who open the one from the, you know, 5,000 years later, if they even find it, if we even know where it is,
yes.
Oh, are they going to go, huh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And will things survive that long?
Yeah.
The microfilm and the newsreels probably disintegrating in that time.
Yeah.
I don't know. You never know. That is something that we, the people of the United States in the 1970s, contemplated. What will people be thinking when they open this? And that leads to the NASA Voyager time capsules of, they did a golden record. And this is at least a part of my popular culture knowledge. I kind of know about this. Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 spacecrafts have this golden record. It was created as a message to any extraterrestrial life. Carl Sagan creation, along with a team of scientists and artists and writers. But it contains a variety of sounds and images that represent the diversity of life and culture on Earth. It contains 115 analog encoded images, including photographs of humans, animals, landscapes, landscapes from all around the world, mm-hmm. scientific diagrams and maps, nature sounds they even thought to put there. So this would be people in space getting an idea of Earth.
I can remember hearing about people talking about them in like the 80s.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, well, now you've sent out like our address and
yes. Yes.
They'll be able to find us and they'll know that we have resources. And it's like, okay, calm down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people of the 90s have decided that everybody's going to pass Earth and say, oh, no.
No. Yeah.
There's a whole Star Trek movie about that.
Yeah, no, we heard those Hitler radio broadcast transmissions. We don't need listening. To stop there.
Yeah. No Christmas for you and goodbye. Yeah. Oglethorpe University in Atlanta, Georgia, sealed a time capsule in 1940 called the Crypt of Civilization.
Oh,
so that is indeed a big crypt. It was designed to be open in 8113, so 6100 years later.
Oh,
that's also the creator, Dr. Thornwell Jacobs, believed that future generations would benefit from a comprehensive record of human history and culture, which that would be fascinating. If I could open a room and see 6,000 years ago, that would be incredible.
Wow, that's ambitious.
And we do that with the pyramids. So I do see why this is interesting. We do eat that up. We're like fascinated and glean a lot of things. So this crypt... it's a large airtight room filled with just artifacts and documents and all kinds of things that are significant to the early 20th century. So that includes...
what's it called again?
The Crypt of Civilization.
That's right. Oh, wow. It is a whole... it's a whole room.
It's like a 50s museum. Well, it's a 40s. It's like a 40s museum. They've got books and films and sound recordings and toasters and bottle openers and model airplanes and records of events and newspapers and magazines, samples of food and clothing and everyday items. And it has a preservation system. The room was filled with a special gas mixture that will help prevent decay. So they did consider that.
Huh.
Many of the time capsule readings you hear about didn't go as well. They didn't save as well. 1957 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they celebrated their jubilee and then disinterred that time capsule 50 years later in 2007. They actually had a contest for the locals to predict the city's 2007 population. And the lucky person who came closest would win the car that was interred and $100 savings bond. Their time capsule was a Plymouth Belvedere, a two-door sedan sprayed with a preservative wrapped in plastic and set in a concrete vault. It included road supplies, they were all in the trunk, gas, oil, and beer.
Oh.
They filled the glove compartment with hairpins, a makeup compact, plastic rain cap, comb, chewing gum, cigarettes, a bottle of tranquilizers, $2.73 in cash, and some unpaid parking tickets.
Oh.
So I am delighted by the sense of whimsy that project entailed, but it was not in driving condition when they disinterred it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it had been located in downtown Tulsa, and apparently they were worried about road vibrations that might crack that concrete vault. And so when they pulled it out, they did in fact find out that their fears were realized. It was sitting in 4 feet of water in 2007. So the unveiling was a little bit of a downer.
Oh.
They had a sea of mud and rust that damaged the artifacts inside, but the chrome was still shiny. So there you go. That car owner might have a classic on their hands. New set of tires, a little bit of Bondo.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of trouble thinking about these ones with like the 6,000 year shot clock and the 8,000 year shot clock. What post-apocalyptic rubble somebody finds this, what is it? It's a swimming pool, that 8,000 year old one is a swimming pool. And then, you know, it's nitrogen air and all these artifacts from the 1940s.
Mad Max is not going to have anything to do with all that stuff.
Yeah, no, not even.
Or they'll like the chairs. Who knows? Let's hope it's a better place in 6,000 years. Yeah, that's so hard to imagine that far forward, what it'll be like.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. No, but if you're still here in 2076, which is America's tricentennial. The Campfire Girls of Billings, Montana, Troop 23 have got your back, and they have put a princess telephone, a digital watch, a box of bullets, tapes of music and news programs, and a bicentennial stamp with a 1976 postmark.
Is there a box of bullets?
The only thing that I can think of is that archery is a thing now in Campfire, and so I wonder if at some point marksmanship also was, but that has potentially faded away as, I don't know.
Such an odd item.
Yes, it was not a part of my campfire experience.
No. No, we were selling...
Almond Roca.
Yeah, we weren't shooting guns. We were maybe camping.
No.
I was like, we just took a left turn. Sorry, let's circle back to time capsules. I don't like that we know what's in them. I think it
should be a surprise.
Yeah, I think it should be like, we made a time capsule. It's bitchin'. Check in 100 years and you'll see.
Yeah, agreed.
If I know what's in it, then what's the point? I guess this is why I'm not in charge of time capsules. I'd be like, shut up. You can't tell them what's in it.
Right? Exactly. It's a lot of fun to consider what you might put in your own as you start looking.
Yeah, I like it. You know what you could do? Instead of waiting 25 years for the Brain Jump time capsule to open, you can just listen to the old stuff now.
That's true. Wherever you listen to podcasts, all nearly 300 episodes are there waiting for you.
So like much stuff.
Podcast money in the bank, back episodes.
Like, subscribe, listen, go to our Instagram. Head over to Facebook if you still go to Facebook. I only go to Facebook for brain junk. My mom is so funny. She's always like, you post stuff on Facebook. I'm like, no, I post stuff to Instagram. And then Instagram just throws it up over there for me because I'm lazy. Mm-hmm,
that's right.
Yeah. If you go to brainjunkpodcast.com, we have a shop. You can click on the shop in the menu and it takes you to Printify. And we've got a shirt and mugs. And
I like the tumbler, I think. Is it a tumbler, a beer glass? You can put whatever you want. You could fill it with M&Ms. Oh, that would be a joyful amount of M&Ms.
Because it's like 16 ounces of M&Ms.
Yes. It's going to cost you like $14 to do that, but you should try it.
Yeah, so go ahead and do that. And when you're done shopping, we'll catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.